now to spend a little time on an interesting topic that you might not know about. There is an opioid safety town hall that we should learn about. And joining us here in studio, Dr. Karen Relucio and Dr. Colleen Townsend are with us. Good morning to you both.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, very good.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming in. Dr. Relucio, would you like to lead off on this? What's the basic info?
Yeah, sure. So we are having an opioid safety town hall called the Opioid Crisis, Knowledge, Prevention, and Hope, which will take place on Saturday, June 15th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Crosswalk Church, located at 2590 First Street in Napa. So it's a free event. You can get some education as well as some free swag, and lunch will be provided.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we're having this town hall is because of the opioid crisis that's happening nationally. So it's estimated that 130 Americans die every day from opioid overdose, from prescription medications and illegal drugs. And in 2017, the number of opioid overdose deaths involving opioids is six times higher than in 1999. And so if we might ask the question, what's the impact in Napa County? We've had there's not as much of an impact, but in there's all we know is that in the top 10 causes of premature death in Napa County are from substance use-related overdoses such as alcohol and opioids. Mm. So it is has a significant impact in our county. We've had in 2017 we'd had 4 opioid deaths, 13 emergency room visits, and 17 hospitalizations. But there's been a lot of work that has been done by Partnership Health Plan since 2014 to decrease those impacts. So perhaps I can have Colleen fill in.
Is that where you come in?
Yep. I'm from Partnership Health Plan, the Medi-Cal Managed Care Program, overseeing Medi-Cal services here in Napa County. And in 2014, the health plan made a very concerted effort to help clinicians and patients use fewer opioids to manage their pain. And in that time frame, from 2014 to now, we've seen about a 70% or more reduction in the amount of opiates that are actually prescribed to our members or our patients, which makes a great effort in terms of reducing the amount of opioids available. And at that same time, we've also increased access to other services like chiropractor care and acupuncture services as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the intention is with managing pain safely, which is the Partnership Health Plan initiative, the intention is to decrease the supply of prescription opiates and really help people get the right kind of opioid or the right kind of non-opioid pain management.
So I guess the obvious question comes up, why have we been using these in the first place if we don't really need them? If you're going to be replaced by other things for pain management, why did they ever become so common?
So medicine is an evolutionary process, meaning we learn as we go about many things related to how we can best manage and treat illness. And in the sense of chronic pain, there was an intention in the 80s and early 90s to treat pain more aggressively. And at that time, it was really felt that opiates were the answer. The initial data that was released and marketed toward clinicians and hospitals was that pain was not only a really important factor that should be controlled and possibly eliminated, but that opiates were one of the factors, were the main factor that we could do that, and that they were safe. This was marketed, it is now commonly held that this marketing technique was used by the large pharmaceutical companies in order to, we can hope that they had some benevolence in their thoughts in terms of trying to treat people's pain, but there was also marketing and business. And so as clinicians read about studies that were put forward by the pharmaceutical companies, it seemed clear that pain management was important with opiates. And there wasn't an indication that there was a strong risk for both addiction as well as overdose. Subsequently, we've learned differently. And so now we have to reel it back in and ensure that people are getting the right kind of pain management options,
mm-hmm.
which sometimes is opiates, but oftentimes there are many, many other steps to take before you get to opiates.
Yeah. The term is so widely used now, opioids, opiates. What are we actually talking about? Is everything in this group of drugs derived from the opium poppy? Is that simple?
It is fairly that simple. They're derived either from opiate poppies or they're made to look like, or they're look-alike.
Synthetic,
so there are manufactured synthetic opiates. And that actually is probably a larger problem now than it was historically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when we look at the opioid overdose epidemic, there's been three waves of the rise in opioid overdoses. The first wave began with increased prescribing of opioids in the 1990s, and as Dr. Townsend had alluded to, pain became the fifth vital sign, with opioids being the solution to treat pain, which then created the problem that we have now. Mm-hmm. And then the second wave of opioid overdoses began in 2010 when we started seeing more rapid increase in overdose deaths involving heroin, because people that become dependent on opioid medications find that they can't afford it anymore, then they switch to heroin. And then the third wave began in 2013, where we started seeing more opioid overdose deaths involving synthetic opioids. And these are illicitly manufactured fentanyl that is a lot more potent than what you see in regular fentanyl.
Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, I think when you're talking about opioids and how they fit into the average person's life, it might be because you had a surgery or you've had some kind of legit medical issue that you would have been given those drugs. I think most of us who have experienced something like Vicodin, as an example, you quickly discover that it's pretty addictive, that you're wanting it even though you don't know you are in some fashion. Like, I'm going to take another one of those, or I think I need another pain pill. And they were always very severely limited in my experience. They only give you enough for a couple of days coming out of a surgery. So it's kind of a hard jump with that in the background to think, how does someone end up on heroin from that starting point? Is it a matter that people were injecting this stuff, breaking it down and injecting it to develop that kind of addiction that led them to heroin?
So often the pathway that starts is just sort of as you described, in which a person has an acute medical incident where they have a surgery or an injury and they're prescribed opiates, which currently would be for a very short period of time, but historically we probably prescribed for a longer period of time than was necessary. And following that, as people continue to use opiates longer, they do become dependent upon them. And so it's more difficult to get off of them. And they're either prescribed them continuously, or they can access opioid pills from many other locations. Some people sell their pills. Some people steal medications to sell them, et cetera. And then when you lose your access to pills, people will then turn to illicit drugs like heroin and move away from pills themselves. It's not an uncommon pathway. There's lots of really great data and many very sad stories about how this particular journey for an individual who went in for a procedure perhaps to relieve pain or improve their function, and then as a result of using opiates, goes down this path of becoming more dysfunctional as a result of them.
Mm-hmm. And is it that the withdrawal from these is so severe that leads people to the addiction? I mean, or is it just because it makes you feel good at a certain point?
It's probably just because it makes people feel good, but what we do know is that some people have a much more significant reaction in terms of what we call the high or the euphoric response to opiates. We don't always know who is going to be addicted. However, there are pretty clear tools that we can use clinically to identify who's at risk for becoming addicted or having a strong need to have the medications or to have the drug over and over.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the question about withdrawal, I mean, that's definitely that's a real phenomenon. And, recently we had viewing of a documentary that involved a man who actually was prescribed pain medications for an ingrown toenail surgery that had some complications. And he actually journaled every day on, his use of opioids. And basically it was a way for him to survive and get through the day. So it wasn't just a matter of the high, but it was just, I don't want to withdraw today. Mm. And this is, so I think it's really a both and phenomenon between euphoria and withdrawal.
Yeah. So as you were saying, from what we used to have as the class of opiates, this new synthetic stuff and the fentanyl that we've heard so much about has sort of changed the game. Can you describe for us what fentanyl is and how this problem developed and the severity of that substance itself?
Well, with fentanyl is a type of opiate that binds to. So when we use opiates, they bind to certain receptors in our brain. And various opiates will either bind very tightly or grab onto that receptor really tightly and produce the opiate response in a particular gradient of fashion. So some people have some medications and drugs will have a really strong hold. Others will have a less strong hold and for less period of time. Fentanyl has a high affinity for the opioid receptors, and as a result of that, it produces a very high reaction in your body to it. And because it's so potent, it has your body's response to it is very severe, and which consequently results in overdoses, because a smaller amount of fentanyl has a greater effect in your body and can lead to the desired effects, pain management, etc. But it can also do the secondary effects of opiates, is to shut down breathing and other necessary functions in your body.
Okay. And suddenly you're in a big world of trouble.
Yes.
Is it true that with people using these products are building up a tolerance, and so they're needing to take more and more to feel the effect?
Yes, that's correct. So what happens is if you are on opioids for a longer period of time, your brain receptors adjust. So they start to have less receptors in the cell to bind the drug. So as a result, you have to take more of the drug in order to get the desired desired effect, mm-hmm. whether it's analgesia or whether it's euphoria.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden, you're past the point of your body being able to actually survive with that much of the drug in it, even though all you were trying to do was get to your normal state of way you feel.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Very scary. What's the replacement then? I know in my personal experience, I had a dental thing and no opiate prescribed. And that was okay with me because I really don't like taking them. But they said a combination of ibuprofen and acetaminophen now is the replacement. Is that what's being used?
So for short-term management of pain, I think what we've learned in the last few years is there are many options. And so for acute pain, we're really learning that various types of anti-inflammatories. There's four different classes of anti-inflammatories. So some people may not respond to ibuprofen, but in a different class of medicine, they may. And so I think that dentists, physicians are becoming more accustomed to using all of those other tools. So anti-inflammatories are great pain medications, as is Tylenol. Really great opportunity to really reduce pain, and they work in different ways, so they can be used together.
Yeah. I found it pretty effective, I have to say. I had had the opiate previously for the same kind of a problem, and it was like I was surprised. This is actually, I'm not uncomfortable at all as a result of this. So that's really encouraging.
Yeah, and I think that for people that suffer from long-term chronic pain, there are other options such as antidepressants and medicines that are used to treat seizures, but they also have an analgesic effect as
really?
Well.
Didn't know that.
Yes.
They're also doing some really terrific work with surgical procedures to use medications during procedures directly. So if you can imagine having a knee replacement or a hip replacement, they actually are injecting some of those medications that we hadn't used prior in this way right into the joints that are being operated on, so they provide more pain relief as the surgery heals.
Hmm. Interesting. So what will the process be at this town hall?
Yeah, so this community-focused event will open with a panel discussion that features healthcare experts, community leaders, and we actually have a couple of community members that can share their stories of experience and how they recovered and after a struggle with opioid addiction. There will be two hands-on education sessions on how to give naloxone because you might have a family member that is on high-dose opioids and you want to make sure that they don't have an overdose.
Explain what that is.
So naloxone is it's a medicine that binds to the same receptors that that opioids bind to, and what it does is it prevents the effects of it counteracts the effects of the opioids so that you don't stop breathing, and it could be either given as a nasal spray or an injection, but in this town hall, it'll be the nasal spray that we're going to be teaching people to do,
and that's what we hear about people literally being brought back from almost dead.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. And then also another source of opioids is of diversion is actually opioids in the home. So people might have gotten surgery, and I can talk about like when I had surgery, I was given 90 pills of Vicodin,
wow.
and I used three. So it's I think that there's a lot of excessive opioids that are in the home, and so it's really important to dispose of it correctly, as well as locking it up. So we will talk about ways to safely dispose and to lock up opioids. And then there's, of course, going to be a session for healthcare providers, which Colleen could fill us in on. Mm-hmm.
So we have a session for healthcare providers, but also community members can certainly attend and learn more about the clinical approach to managing pain in this new era. And so we have three different speakers covering what are the options of managing pain without using opiates. We have another speaker talking about what are the safest ways to prescribe opiates, because we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We know that opiates have a role in pain management, but in ensuring that that clinicians can prescribe in the safest manner. And then finally, we have a speaker talking on interventional pain management. So we can kind of give clinicians a big overview of pain management, as well as community members who are curious about how this looks going forward.
Very good. And tell us again the where and the when.
Yeah, so it is on Saturday, June 15th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Crosswalk Church, located at 2591st Street in Napa. And just to get there at 9:30 for registration, but then the session starts at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And is this particularly targeted at people who already are using opioid medications, for example, or in the family, or
it's targeted for everyone.
Everybody.
Yes. Okay. And, I think that I think it's really important for families and seniors. It's really for everyone. Because when we look at who gets prescribed opioids, mostly it's people aged 50 to 69 years of age, but we're also seeing an increase in youth because of athletic activities where they may injure themselves, and then their introduction into, opioid addiction is that first pill that they might, get because of the injury. And hopefully we can get people thinking on maybe there should be other options that you should explore before going down that pathway.
Yeah. Sounds right to me. We've been talking here with Dr. Karen Relluccio, and also with us Dr. Colleen Townsend on this Opioid Safety Town Hall. Is there a web address we can give where people can trace all this info?
We don't have a web address, but we can. There is an Eventbrite. If you Google Napa Opioid Town Hall and Google, then it'll bring you to an Eventbrite, and you can register there.
That's what you need. Very good. Thanks for being here today. Good information.
Thanks so much
Thank you for having us.
All right. And time for a break, and we'll have more coming your way here on Wine Country Live shortly. Stay tuned.